Okay, today's message is titled Deep in Sin Debt? Question mark. No amount of work will set you free, but Jesus paid it all. And we're going to go in through some verses about how Paul is re-emphasizing to the Galatians, don't fall for this idea that you got to be more holy and do the things of the law, much like the Hebrew Roots movement of today. But also, we have a law written on our hearts. Before we were believers, we had a law written on our hearts, and we had a standard we judged others by that we ourselves did not pass. So this all works together for us to realize Jesus did it all, and he doesn't need our help, right? In obedience and love, we want to follow him, but he doesn't need us to add in our religious things, our legalism, our different ideas onto other people and on ourselves. A burden on ourselves that God doesn't want us to put on us. Okay, the verses today are Galatians 3, 10 through 14. I do have slides today, so I'm kind of going back into those waters. First, we're going to do a recap, and I'm going to do a little discussion before we even get into the verses where you stand up. But here's a recap. Last time we talked about Paul warning the Galatians about those bewitching them. That was, he used strong words, oh, foolish Galatians, because it's a big deal. You don't want to distort the truth. You don't want to change what God's word says. So they were teaching, these people who came into Galatia and were teaching the churches, you have to follow the law in addition to your belief in Christ. And how that also alienated the Gentile believers who did not follow the law. It's only through Jesus Christ, not our flesh works, because that's really what the law is. The law is keeping your mind on your obedience, on who you are. See, that it can seem holy to keep the law, but who's your focus on? It's on you, not on Christ. When it's on Christ, now, like Don said, it's written on your heart, so now you're going to live that out. So we talked about that and how our faith is just like Abraham. That's where the Jewish nation came from. And Abraham, before the law, believed God. We have the same faith that Abraham had. And the law was there to really show us you can never be as good as God. You can't obey his commands. You can't obey the feast. You can't do these things perfectly. And we'll cover that more today. We also talked about some of the challenges that we face in our day with religious leaders who are distorting the truth. Some are adding, some are subtracting from God's word, attempting to bewitch others, to use Paul's words. And the way we fight that, we talked about last time, is to know his word, to keep it, to guard it, and obey it, to obey it, not to make us, not for salvation, obey it to protect the word that he gave us, to protect the lost people who need to know the way to salvation, and it's not through the law. It's through Jesus Christ. Believe and receive Jesus Christ, and that is how we dispel the lies, and we are supposed to combat that everywhere we go, when we hear this stuff, when the lost are being, burdens are putting on them that are not true, we have to dispel those and go, that is not in the Bible. It might sound good to society, but that is not in the Bible. So today we're going to continue with this theme of those that trust in the law, or we're trusting in the law. Our flesh works. I'm going to keep reminding us of that. The law can seem good, and it is good for convicting us of sin. And the law itself was good, but for us to try to obey it and to make ourselves justified before God on our own works, our efforts, that's not what the purpose of the law was for. It was to show us we need a Savior. We're drowning in sin debt, and we need a Savior. So those trusting in the law, our flesh works, versus grace through faith. Okay, so now to make sure we understand that the law is not just what the Jews were struggling with only, we have a verse in Romans to remind us that we also have the law written on our Gentile hearts. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. So Romans 2:18, But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. God has written his law on every man's heart. We all know. I don't believe in atheists, because God's word says there are no such thing as true atheists. They all are accountable. They can see the creation. They can see what the Creator has made. That's the danger of evolution and thinking there's no God involved in it. It just all just happened out of nothing happened. You have to have a lot of faith in nothing to believe it. So this is for the Jew and the Gentile. So we also have a law of flesh works we followed before we believed in Jesus as our Lord. And if anyone here has not believed in Jesus as our Lord, please pay attention, because this also will explain that it is in faith in Christ only believe and receive what he's done for you. So this is where some people get the idea that they are not, or they are good enough. You've heard this idea that I'm a good person. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm better than other people. Well, they're setting that standard up in their own mind. That's the law in their heart. I'm better than Hitler. We always use the worst people to compare ourselves to. They've been a good person according to the law in their hearts, comparing themselves to others, much like the Jews believed they were better than the Gentiles. So they looked at their law following as better than us. But we follow the law. We do these things. Which is why some believed to be better Christ followers as they taught those to keep the law, like those in Galatia. That was what was happening there. Because we are all born with a sin nature and have found different ways to justify ourselves on our own power, that is the problem right there. We're going to talk about our sin debt, Jew and Gentile sin debt, and why we cannot strive hard enough or work enough hours, not even 8 days a week, are going to suffice. We can't do it on our own to ever decrease or satisfy our sin debt to God. The only one who could was God, and he sent his son. And if you believe that he died and rose again on the third day, if you believe that in your heart, confess that with your mouth, you are saved. We've talked about this before. You can't really believe in Jesus as your Savior unless you repent and realize your need for a Savior. That is very important. It's not just an addition onto your carnal ways. You've got to be like, man, I am depraved. I need a Savior. And believe and receive it. All who repent, believe this, and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are sin debt free before God, paid in full forever and ever. So please stand for the reading of God's word. Galatians 3, 10 through 14. We stand to honor God as we read his verses for today's message. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is the word of God. Well, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your work on the cross. Father, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for having a plan, knowing all things from before time began, because you loved us so much and you made it so easy for us, and you took on all of our mistakes, all of our hurt, all of our pain, all of the revenge in our hearts. You took all of that on the cross for us. Lord, help us to hear your words, to heal our wounds, the added things that we've added into our lives of following you, Lord. Help free us from those things and help us to follow you in spirit and truth, to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit and go out and praise your name and share the good news that you did it all and we are sin debt free forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So all people are born with a sin nature. No one is good, not one. Romans 10 or 3, 10 through 12. Sorry, I got a little excited during praise. I think I messed my voice up a little bit. We are all born with a sin debt to God. The word debt, it's an uncomfortable word, isn't it? It's a depressing word. In our finances, we would much rather talk about credits than debits. Receiving checks in the mail over bills. Like, I think we got a slide here. Now, for you young people, this is how we used to get bills. And we used to pay them this way, too. Sorry, I gotta get another drink of water here. Today, many people talk about our national debt in this country, how it's out of control, and most believe it's so far out of control, we can never pay it back. So as I was preparing this message, it was at $36,915,282,189,706. And that averages out to $108,167 for each American. So that's on average. So everyone is born into this on average debt before they can even crawl. So we got a little guy here. He's smiling because they haven't told him this yet. No, he's happy. Or maybe he's smiling because he hears what's coming next. So much like our national debt, anyone who tries to live a perfect life to justify themselves before God is in a similar situation. Every day we wake up, we are going deeper and deeper into debt when we do it on our own. Every day, no matter how hard you try, even with the Holy Spirit in you, no matter how hard you try, you do the things you don't want to do, the things you do want to do, you don't do. You find yourself doing these things. Because the flesh is annoying. The flesh, I hate this guy. I hate that flesh guy. He gets in my way all the time. So we have a picture of a person overwhelmed in debt. So this could be us financially, hopefully not, but this is us without Christ in sin debt. This is how we are. And this is the point we got to get to. Help. And when we hit those rock bottom moments, that's God calling you, drawing you, helping you go, you need help, buddy. You need a savior. But we have Jesus. Or actually, before I say that, I just want to say, sorry, I saw the slide move. Our national debt, as big as it is so minuscule to our sin debt to God. Our individual sin debt to God is the national debt's nothing compared to that. But we have Jesus, our Redeemer, who paid all past, present, and future sins. You do not need to worry about if you ask God to forgive you for sins right before you got in a car accident. Because as soon as you finish that prayer, you're back into the hole again. He paid it all of it, if you believe in your heart and receive. So we have relief. Oh, That's Jesus pulling us out. Unlimited credit. You want to talk about credits and debits? When Jesus died for us, we have unlimited credit, and there are treasures in heaven that Jesus is sharing with his bride, with all of us. Because of what we did? No, what he did. We just believed it. Okay, let's dig deeper into this with our verses today. All or nothing. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Whoever trusts in the law, their flesh works, they're under a curse. You're still in debt. If you think Jesus didn't do the completed work on the cross, if you try to do it on your own, if you put your trust in yourself, if your focus is on you and not on Christ, if you think you need to add something to what Christ has done, this is what he's talking about. You're putting yourself back into bondage. Don't do that. Because nobody can keep them perfectly. As this verse Paul references in Deuteronomy 27, 26 states, the word cursed in the Greek from Paul's Deuteronomy reference means accursed, lying under God's curse. Paul's saying that those Galatians who claim belief in Jesus Christ but are still trusting in their obedience to the law, flesh works, they're adding it to Jesus's completed work. Completed work. Just remember that. Just please remember that Jesus completed it all. That's why God sent him, to complete the work, to save us in our depraved state. True belief in who Jesus is doesn't allow for us to mix in our righteousness, or what we deem to be our righteousness, into his plan in any way. He doesn't want it mingled. He doesn't want us going, well, I've really added some things to my walk in Christ. Like, I'm pretty special. I'm pretty special. Remember, the Jews believed that they were better than the Gentiles because they had the law. And this was hard for them to hear. This was hard for those who believed that to hear, because they had pride. That's what that is. Flesh works, pride. I feel pretty good about myself. Pride. I keep these laws, pride. I would say pride is God's like worst enemy. He hates pride. So if you're a Christian who's looking down on others for things that aren't even in the Bible and thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, you're probably in a deeper sin than they are. They're being told they are no better as far as pleasing God is concerned. And as salvation was concerned, by their efforts to obey the law. Too much praise. So we have the curse of sin in all mankind. Sorry. And the Jews had trusted in the law to overcome it. The Gentile can struggle with this as well. When we trust in our, man, what's going on? In our own man-made additional rules, to either follow as Christians or as unbelieving Gentiles think they are good enough. Compared to others. Again, we always have to compare ourselves to others, feel better. Try comparing yourself to Jesus. See how that goes for you. All remain under a curse because they aren't believing in who Jesus Christ truly is. He is the Savior of the world without any help from us. Jesus took away the curse. He is the only one who could. Why go back under the curse, trusting in our own flesh works of righteousness, of our idea of righteousness that Jesus saved us from? It's God's recipe. We have no ingredients to add to make it better. All or nothing. Our trust must be all in ourselves, nothing or all in Jesus. Everything. No combination of the two. Okay, faith is clearly the only way. Slide 10. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. No one is justified by the law in the sight of God. That's the difference maker. It's got, we got to keep ourselves in the sight of God, not looking unto one another. In the sight of other men and women, we can look really good to ourselves, as we've been talking about, and we can feel justified. This is where a lot of lost people think they're good enough to get into heaven. You ever seen Ray Comfort going on the streets? That's usually the answer they get. Oh, I'm pretty good. I think I'm good enough to get into heaven. But they always say, that's our job to help them understand. That's not true. The devil wants them to keep going through their whole lives thinking they're good to go. He doesn't want them at all to be confronted with this tough truth. This is where the whole patting them on their back on their way to hell comes in. Don't use people for our pleasure and enjoyment, and they're fun to hang out with, but I'm never going to mess this relationship up by actually telling them they're on their way to eternal lake of fire. How unloving is that? But it's in the sight of God that we should consider all that we do. We do it unto God. And Paul's saying that is clear. That is evident. It is clear. If we do it in the sight of God, I don't measure up. Keep your focus on God. Don't put your focus in you, your keeping of laws, all these different things, and thinking you're somehow good enough. The Jews proved that they knew this, that they couldn't keep the law perfectly, like Deuteronomy says they have to, because they had to continually sacrifice animals. So they knew, they are acknowledging with every sacrifice, we can't keep this law. We can't do it. And that's what Paul's trying to remind them of here. We are justified. When I say justified, you think credited. It's been a while. Only through faith. Actually, this is what Rick does. Let's try that again. When I say justified, you think credited. Yes, that's very good. Only through our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who was cursed and crucified for all our sins. Believe God and it is credited to one for righteousness, just as it was for Abraham. This really should have hit home with the Jews. Abraham, faith. They looked to Abraham. I mean, he's the big hitter. Abraham believed in faith. Abraham didn't keep the law. But there remains a veil over their eyes right now, over their minds. The just are those who are declared to be righteous. That's what they're talking about here. We are just by living in faith. The Greek for that is pistis, conviction of the truth of anything, belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor. I love that. Holy fervor, born of faith and joined with it. You got the faith, the holy fervor should be there with it. The holy fervor doesn't save you. But that, when you're born again, you're like, I am actually going to heaven. No matter what happens from here on out, I'm going to heaven. We should live such a life that when we die, all the people at your funeral should be jealous of where you are. This is important. We who live by faith live with conviction of the truth, not, as Rick puts it, tippy-toe Christianity. You know, all in. Jesus went all in for you. We should go all in for Jesus. We just sang that. All in. We are all in on Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Do we have that faith in God? This should be an encouragement to us if we do have that faith, but we aren't walking it. We're holding back. We're scared. We're fearful. We're comfortable. A holy fervor, passion, enthusiasm, emotion for God. Do we have that? This is a preemptive one. Trust in the law equals trust in ourselves. Pride. God's requirement is 100% perfection. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Keeping the law, all of God's commands, is not by faith, but it's all done in the flesh. The man who does them shall live by them. Must live completely, 100% obedient, 100% of the time, with 100% trust in them for salvation. Again, where's your focus when you're living that way? It's not on Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Keeping your focus on the law and your righteousness breaks the first commandment. Make sure we don't have legalism that breaks the first commandment. Trusting in oneself and one's actions throughout this life without error, trying to justify oneself. This mindset is where legalism tends to creep into this area of flesh and pride. Whenever we add or subtract from what God has done and said, we are acting in pride, arrogance, and ignorance to God. What we eat, how we dress, what certain churches say are okay that God says are not okay, what God doesn't say anything about that we say this will send you to hell. These are all adding and subtracting things. God doesn't need our help. He wrote the inerrant word of God for us. Stick to it. Proclaim what he says, but be careful not to add or subtract. Don't add burdens onto yourself or onto others. That's what it does. Our sin debt has been paid in full. We've been redeemed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Christ has redeemed us. Amen? Redeemed by payment of a price to recover from the power of another. That's what he did. Like Rick says, he yanked us out of it. Pulled us out. As soon as you believe, he grabs you out. He's mine. Not yours anymore. He's mine. To buy off. Redeemed from the curse of the law, the curse of sin that we were born into. We were born right into it. And it's clear we cannot keep every one of God's commands perfectly, which the law made obvious. This is evident. This is clear. The law is there to remind us, this is what it would take for you to meet my requirements into heaven. And anyone who's honest knows we can't do it. Even the Jews, when they grabbed the next lamb for slaughter, they knew. I didn't keep it perfectly. I needed it. I needed to sacrifice another lamb. And then we got to be covered in the blood of the one Lamb of God that God sent. God the Father sent for our sins. Okay, so cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This is a reference to Deuteronomy 21:23. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. So Paul's reminding them of another prophetic fulfillment of Jesus here while also making his point. How did Jesus redeem us? By innocently and perfectly taking on all of humanity's sin. All. He took all. Whether you receive it and accept it and believe it, he took all of humanity's sin. Some of those aren't going to be redeemed. You know when you redeem a coupon, if it expires and you throw it away? It was there for you, but it expired. Your expiration date on your coupon is your death. redeem it before the expiration date, before your expiration date. And he did it for your past, present, and future sins by being suspended on a tree. And that word in the Greek, it's something made of wood. It doesn't have to be a tree per se, but it's something made of wood, the cross. Jesus saved us all, like a lifeguard saving someone from drowning while they were trusting in their own swimming skills in the ocean during a dangerous storm. So you see these people, they're all clamoring and getting out. Can you imagine who in their right mind would get saved from this and then go, you know, I think I'm going to jump back in and try this again. But that's what it's like when we go back to trusting in our own works, when we try to go back into trusting in the law for salvation. He saved you. He saved you. Don't go back in. Don't go back in. Believe in the only eternal lifeguard. He saved you. All you have to do is believe it. Believe it. Let go of the trust in your flesh. Let go of your ways. Be renewed in your mind according to the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Repent and acknowledge that you can't save yourself, and don't go back to trusting in your own skills and abilities once you've been saved. Remember, when we're led by the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to be like the wind. We're not supposed to look like, you know, corporate America. We're not supposed to look like everybody else. We're supposed to be doing and saying things that don't always make sense, but they're supposed to be good things. Let the light of God shine forth into all around you. Don't make excuses for your sin either. You know, we're supposed to follow the laws of the land, and a lot of times we can be like, these aren't big deals. Well, how do you think God feels when he told us to obey the laws of the land, and we were like, you know what? I mean, he doesn't really care about jaywalking. He doesn't care about speeding. I mean, these are things where we're knowingly breaking. We're knowingly going, you know what? That's not a big deal to God. Really? I mean, look at the law and how it explains his calling. So as a representative, as an ambassador to Christ, we probably shouldn't have anything that we're like, you know what? That's not a big deal. Not because you're not going to be saved. Jaywalk, you're still saved. But are you being a good example? If someone came up to you and asked you about it, like, imagine a lost person who says that. Hey, doesn't the Bible say to obey the laws of the land? I saw you going 83 down 94 with your little Jesus sticker on the back of your car. I followed you, you know? I mean, I don't know how I'd answer that. I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I don't think he thinks that's a big deal. That's a lie. I don't think that's true. You can't be good enough, but God is. God is good all the time. Faith like Abraham in Christ saves us all and brings us the promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's break this down a little bit. The blessing of Abraham means to be consecrated, separated to God from our depraved sin nature through faith. Again, this goes back to the thinking, you know, there's rules and laws that we're supposed to follow that God doesn't think is a big deal. We're supposed to look like we're separated unto God. Did you ever see Jesus in a hurry? Should we be in a hurry? We shouldn't be in a hurry. You know what I really love? The Lord's convicted me recently about speeding. So I love these people who are all going crazy because I'm in front of them and they just can't stand it, right? I love it when they go zooming past me when we get into two lanes of traffic and then the stoplight stops them and I creep my car right up. Hey, we're in the same spot. You're speeding, you're risking getting a ticket, but here we are, side by side. I love when that happens, though. And when I did it the other way, I hated when that happened. Now this slow guy, and now I'm next to this guy. What a waste of time. I mean, that's how I did it. Might come. So might come, what does that mean? It means made, to be made and finished. God made a way for the Gentiles to be saved from our sin debt. Consecrated, finished, past, present, future, finished. Jesus said, it is finished. He didn't say, well, we'll see, that it is finished. We should have that assurance. That Holy Spirit in you sealed you. Sealed you. Even when you find yourselves doing the things you don't want to do and you find yourselves not doing the things you know you should do, sealed. You're still sealed. But we want to serve him. And if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we want to walk in his ways like he showed us to, because we are supposed to love them. And the way we love them is by following his commands. Not for salvation, but because he did. Because we love him. He's our rabbi. He's our leader. He's our king. He's our Lord. If he's the Lord of your life, don't you want to be like your Lord? Do you want Jesus saying, you know what, some of these things you're going through and you're praying for, I really don't think they're that big a deal like you think of jaywalking and speeding, so I'm just not going to obey him. That's not our God, though, is it? He's our everything. So we should give him our everything. And I'm picking minuscule things that maybe are bothering you. I don't know. There's bigger things, too. You all know the things in your life that you make compromises and excuses. Let the Holy Spirit show you those things. I'm sharing you, too, because jaywalking was something that I'm like, not a big deal. That's why I'm sharing it, not because I saw one of you doing it. Like, oh, that'll be good. I can't wait to get Dale on jaywalking. No, that was me at work every day, crossing over, going, yeah, I could walk over there and do that, but no. And then the Lord's like, really? Really? So that's why I'm sharing those with you. So that we might receive a gift given, believe it and receive it. You know, there's some people who say it's a work to get to believe. Listen, when someone buys you a birthday present or a Christmas present and they give it to you, do you think of it as, man, I got to do all this work now to unwrap this and receive this gift that you got? Thanks a lot. It's not a work. It's just believing it and accepting it. Thank you. And when you accept it from God, you're going, thank you for who you are, for who you are. I'm going to receive this. I can't wait to open this and receive it. That's how salvation should be looked at. And what are we receiving? The promise of the Holy Spirit sealed for the day of redemption. That's Ephesians 4:30. So how do we receive? Faith, believing God sent his son. Just like Abraham's faith, believing God who was before the law was given. The Holy Spirit is given only through faith in Jesus Christ. When we receive him, God didn't just say, you know what, I'm going to save you and that's it. He sent his helper. And when the disciples were distraught when Jesus was leaving, he told them, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, but I'm going to send you my helper. And you see the difference in the disciples. As believers, there was a difference when the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were now fearless. They weren't denying Jesus, calling down curses from heaven. They weren't afraid. They were going out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have that. If you believe, you have that. But we have to stop quenching him. We have to let him take over. And those things he's helping you with that don't feel like help sometimes, that's him trying to work through you to sanctify you, to be more Christ-like in this world so you can love your neighbor as yourself. So you can give them an example. So you can do things that the world doesn't do, like helping someone, giving something instead of lending it to them. These are things that really speak to people who have been abused and destroyed by this world and its system, and we have that salve to put on it. We can break the mold. We always, every day we walk, we have a chance to break the mold of what the world is doing to people. There's a movement right now of young men. I just read an article about it. Young men are coming to church. Like 21, it's like the highest percentage of increase of people is young men in this world today. And I think it's because they're seeing how whacked out the world is. How much it's against them. To be a man. To be a man is a bad thing in the world, but not to God. And they're looking for truth. And hopefully there were Christians there showing them that truth that drove them to go to church and start taking Jesus seriously. That's our job. I think I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. So now we're clearly seeing how God used the law to show the world the need for a Savior, our Redeemer, paid in full. The Jews need to let go of their trust in themselves and the law that they couldn't keep. And like I said, they knew they couldn't keep it. That's why they had to keep sacrificing, which would also let go of the curse that they were under and believe in Jesus to be sin debt free. To really understand they're sin debt free. The intent was that the Gentiles would receive the blessings through faith as well. So the Jews were, so here's Abraham, believes in faith. Then the Jews were given the law to show them how righteous and holy God is, to show them you cannot do it. You need a Savior. You need a sacrifice. For a while, it was animals. Then came the Lord. And we've talked about this before. They inspected Jesus and tried to find fault in him when he came in the first coming, came to Jerusalem, and they rejected him even though they couldn't find fault in him, and they sacrificed the Lamb of God. This should have opened a lot of their eyes, but they missed it. They're going to get another chance soon. Life all comes down to Jesus. For Jews and Gentiles, what will each person do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? If you're not a believer, what will you do with Jesus? If you are a believer, what will you do with Jesus? Will you follow the laws? Will you do what you're supposed to do? Will you hear the Holy Spirit who's poking at you, frustrating you? And from experience, when you quit listening to him, you keep on pushing him away and you don't hear him on that thing anymore. That's not like, oh, he doesn't care anymore. That's a bad thing. He did that to me. It got my attention. I quit that thing he was trying to get me to quit for a long time. So we want to, you don't want to get the Holy Spirit being like, it's almost like casting pearls of swine to tell Jason to quit smoking. He's not listening. So I'm just going to withdraw. And that got my attention. Oh my gosh, why am I not feeling this conviction anymore? Church, we all have a role in this. All believers in Christ, including those who were in Galatia, we're supposed to be showing, sharing, and drawing people to Christ alone. And how can we do that if we look nothing like him? If we look like the rest of the world? In our belief and our obedience to him. Those who love me, obey my commands. That's what Jesus said. We know we will all struggle and do those things we don't want to do. We know that's going to happen. But the direction, the perfection and direction is Christ and obeying him, loving him. We're supposed to be living at a... Oh, no, I can't skip that. That's the love verse or the fruit of the Spirit verse. Belief in Jesus should change us. We should see the fruit. And that this is a fruit singular, okay? When you eat an apple, it's crispy, it's sweet, right? It's savory, it's got nutrients in it. I mean, it's all-encompassing. This is the fruit of the Spirit, too. You don't get to choose which fruit or parts of the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control is the one the Lord's been working on me the most. In everything, in the way my mind works, in the way I look at things, the way I serve him, the way I talk to other people. But it's all encompassing. He's shown me, like, Jason, you can't just pick which ones that you want. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And this is great. Against such, there is no law. So he gave us the Holy Spirit. He gifted us the Holy Spirit. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit when we believed. Because we're supposed to be living at a higher level than the law. We're supposed to have the law or God's word written on our heart. So Jesus came and he put the law into focus. Remember, even the Sermon on the Mount, hate equals murder. I think I have another example in here too. I might have got ahead of myself. But, you know, he raised the bar. He basically was trying to let everyone know, maybe you didn't murder someone, you need a savior. You need a savior as well. Many people fill their lives with selfish living, chasing pleasures and luxuries, and may never consider why they exist at all. This would be a lost person. They're constantly distracted with themselves and the cares of this world. But God says those that do those things do not have an excuse. This is where I was going with earlier about atheists, all these different things. So Romans 1, 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. God doesn't believe in atheists. They're accountable. But we have a role to play in this, because they can deceive themselves in thinking, yeah, I don't believe. I mean, atheists talk more about God than most people do, so it's interesting that they don't believe it. God also says to those who believe on Jesus that we have a responsibility, go tell others about him, to be light in the darkness. Remember, their hearts have been darkened. We're supposed to be there to illuminate them to what God has done. Illuminate them to how depraved they are. You're not good enough. There is a heaven and a hell. God created all that you see. That's the only way it could have happened. You need to receive it and believe it. Believe it and receive it. He said we should go to all nations to spread the good news. This is good news. Even if they don't receive it as good news, it is good news. He said to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. That is our job. That is our role. That is what God told us to do. Jesus died for every person who will ever live. We covered that earlier. They need to hear that to believe it. We have to go out and do our part. We have to share it. We can't say we love our neighbor if we don't care. Amen? We have to care. We have to live it. We have to share it. And when we know where we're failing, we should repent and get right, because we love God with our heart, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. It's important. Each person has something. Lost people have something, a hurdle in this life to overcome to believe in Jesus. I think Rick had a number that people needed to hear about Jesus before most of them believed. Can't remember that number. But we all work together as different parts of the body, working together. Maybe some of us have worked on the same person. Maybe a few of us have worked on the same person here in Battle Creek, maybe in Kalamazoo. So some of the hurdles, it might be trusting in the law and being children of Abraham. That's one that they're talking about in these verses today. Or it could be pride and arrogance. I don't need a crutch. I mean, that's the first thing I heard when I became a believer. I don't need that crutch, Jason. You needed a crutch. I'm glad it worked out for you. Because what are they doing? They're hearing the enemy and pushing away that they need a crutch too. Admit that you needed a crutch. Don't be like, I didn't need a crutch. I needed Jesus. No, you needed a crutch. And more than a crutch. I needed a savior. I needed a lifeguard. Maybe they are loving the darkness and rejecting the light, like the Gospel of John starts with. Or maybe it's just the foolishness of the cross in their mind. It could be our belief in the miracles and the supernatural, like the virgin birth, Jesus' healings, or that whole idea of being raised from the dead. These are all their thoughts, their intellect. Academia is really good at trying to attack at these points. But we should be living examples, salty saints full of light, to help wear away their excuses. We're supposed to be so good that when they speak ill of us, they feel guilty about it. Like, man, that I hate that guy, but man, he seems so happy. He's got a beautiful family. He's got all these things. Even when he got sick and he thought he was going to die, he stayed faithful. That wears away the intellect. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Now you're moving like the wind. Now you're not doing what the world does. And this is what gets their attention. This is our job. This is where we fit into this. God did all the work. All we need to do is prove it in our belief. Prove our belief in what we do. In him, in the work he did, in our walk. As James 2:17 says, faith by itself without works is dead. Prove your belief. Now, that could seem contradictory to what we're talking about here, but the reality is this. If you put all your trust in Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, as your King, how would you not change? How would nothing change in you? I mean, unless you think, I was pretty good to go. Well, then what do you need a Savior for? Final thoughts. Our national debt is so minuscule compared to our sin debt to God. We could never pay it off on our own. But Christ paid it all to redeem all who believe. Nobody could ever do enough to clear their accounts before God. Not with the law, not without the law. Jesus reminded us in Matthew 5:18 that not one jot or one tittle will pass away from the law till heaven and earth pass away and all is fulfilled. So there you have it. There's the requirement that's still there for us if you want to try based on your own merit. But if you do this in the sight of God, it will be clear to you, can't do it. And if you try to do it in your own walk with Christ, it will hinder you. It'll burden you. It'll put a yoke on you that Jesus said that does not belong there. But Jesus, he came to save us from that curse, our condemnation, pay our sin debt in full. He taught us through his word, and when he walked this earth, he showed us as he walked this earth the heart of the law, which is even greater than the written law. Oh yeah, that was the other one. Lust equals adultery. So murder or hate equals murder, and lust equals adultery. That really gets everybody pretty much. I mean, Ray Comfort gets everybody on that one. But he showed us how to do this. So he said, you know, it's kind of interesting. You read the Sermon on the Mount, and you're like, oh, my goodness. I mean, it doesn't make you feel great. You feel awful. But then the whole point is to show you you need a Savior. And then you get to look to Jesus and go, he didn't break any of these. He's the one who took all my sin on the cross. He was punished for murder and lust and adultery. All the work, remember, the entire world's sins of all of humanity, he took on him. But you got to turn in that coupon before your expiration date. He made it clear that if we've deceived ourselves into thinking we have been a good enough person and we've kept the law, God sees the heart and he knows how depraved we truly are without him. The Jews knew they needed continual sacrifices because they couldn't keep the whole law perfectly as God required. We must all be saved through faith, Jew and Gentile, it doesn't matter. I'll repeat it again for a reminder. Romans 2:11 through 12. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many as sinned in the law will be judged by the law. We all need to believe that Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Faith-filled obedience. That's our role. Not for salvation, because we love God and we love others. We love people. That's why we do it. It's written on our hearts. The word of God must be written on your heart through the Holy Spirit. This is very important here. It's the living word. God's word is the living word. protect yourself from falling into the deception that it's just a history book, or it's just a rule book, or it's just a textbook. Read it, and the Holy Spirit, it will come alive in you. And when you're reading it and you're not understanding it, be persistent. When I first started reading the Bible, I wasn't getting what I was saying, what it was saying. I didn't get it. And I remember I was in the factory and I was reading it, still reading it in obedience, trying, seeking with all my heart. And then I remember this like veil came off of me, and all of a sudden the words came alive and started pouring into me. That's a gift from the Lord. He will answer it. Seek me with all your heart and you will find me. Seek him. Keep reading. Don't give up. And when the enemy knows you're reading, guess what? He wants to give you everything. Fill your mind with naughty thoughts, busyness of life, different things will all come in to keep you from reading the Word of God. Don't let him do it. We should love spending time with God, talking with him, listening to him, testing the spirits against the Word of God, bringing every thought captive to him. You know, if you want to hear from God, you need to spend time with God. He's like a good friend. Debbie gave me this one. You know, the reason you may not hear from God is you're not listening to him. I mean, if you have a good friend and you have good dialogue and you spend a lot of time together and they say things and you say things and you're both walking away in that communication and you're listening to their great advice, you've got communication. And guess what? You want to spend more time together. Well, God says, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. And I don't think drawing close means just going to church. It's in your heart. Are you drawing close to God? Are you listening to him? When he does give you things, are you taking credit for it? Well, I think that was me. I think I'm just that smart. Or are you giving him the credit? Give him all the credit. Spend time with him. Stir yourself up to want to spend time with him. Because it's a lot better to spend time with him, be a cheerful giver, to cheerfully want to spend time with God versus, oh, it's time to read my Bible. I guess I got to go to church this morning. Men's groups today. Stir yourself up. Remind yourself of how depraved you are without God, and it'll help you. If we do these things, we will be led by him and look more and more like him. He'll be changing us from the inside out. And when we do begin to see these godly changes, give him the credit. Give him the credit. Don't think, oh man, it's because I started taking that course, that self-improvement course, that college course. I mean, I'm getting more like Jesus, and really, Jesus has nothing to do with it. No, wrong. It's you dying more and more daily when you're getting more and more like Christ. It's the Holy Spirit working his power through you as you are learning to die daily, taking up your cross daily. If we try to serve him in our own power, and I really think we all need to listen to this one, because this is an enemy's trick. If we serve him as a born-again believer in our own power, we will get worn out. We'll start grumbling and complaining, like Martha. Jesus loved Martha. Martha thought, man, I need to make this a great day for Jesus visiting my house. Her heart was in the right spot. Well, guess what? Who consumed Martha's mind? Was it Jesus? It was Mary. Mary's not doing what I'm doing. What is she doing? She took her eyes off of Jesus. We need to be more like Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet. And then when we go out, we're doing it for Jesus. Intercede for others if you see them failing, but don't let them get to you. Don't let them keep you from serving in a certain way. We need to draw our energy from the Lord, get the power of the Holy Spirit to serve him, and he'll take you out of your comfort zone. Don't make those flesh excuses when the Holy Spirit's nudging you and going, it's just easier to say no. It might feel that way, but you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on blessings. Let him refresh and renew our mind every day. Put on the armor of God each morning. which, as Roy says, is putting on Christ, which is true. That's what it is, the armor of God. Are you spent and worn out trying to pay off this sin debt on your own, trying to serve him on your own? Are you broken? Do you need help? Do you need a crutch? Do you need a solid foundation? Do you need direction, wisdom, and discernment? Have you come close to giving up? That's right where Jesus needs you to be. That's exactly where he needs you to be, to repent and give up your right to yourself. Take your pride and get rid of it. Lay low and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life. Then realize you've been redeemed and set free, free by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Go out in the power of the Holy Spirit and see what God will do with the new you. Even if you're a believer, the new free you, because you've let the enemy pile up garbage on you that doesn't belong. Be free. You're all free. If you believed in Jesus Christ, be free and go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. These are exciting times with great opportunities if we would just see them through the Holy Spirit's power and the lens of the Word of God. We have great opportunity before us. I'd like to apologize for my voice stuff. I don't know what's going on, but I appreciate your patience. I thank you for your grace and mercy and patience in that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for getting me through the vocal cord issues. Lord, thank you for everyone here. I pray that you open hearts and minds to hear what your living word was meant to speak to their individual lives, to all of our lives, Lord. Help us to have a hunger and thirst for your word, have a hunger and thirst to spend time with you. Lord, show us ways to change our habits, to create more time, to carve out time, to combat the busyness of this world so we can spend time with you. Be persistent and diligent. Lord, show us areas where we can follow you better, we can know you better. Show us how to draw nearer to you, because we know when we're distant from you, it's not you, it's us. In Jesus' name, amen.